Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. How are you guys doing? I hope you're doing well. Sorry, we're just starting a few minutes late today because we were having an issue connecting, but it's all good now. How is your 2024 going so far? What do you want to bring into your life? Have you thought about that? What do you want your life to look like by the end of this year? Those are some things to think about. What do you want to manifest? I have a really cool show today. I have the dynamic duo Will Rodriguez and Karen Ensley from the Skeptic Metaphysicians podcast as my guests, and they're going to join me, and I have tons of questions for them. Their podcast is super interesting, so I want to talk all about that. Just a few things that I wanted to mention. I'm also an author. I have a book called Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams, and it's all about manifesting, so please check it out. I started doing these live readings from my book. So there's 30 manifesting stories in my book with postcards that I photographed. And their postcards kind of like a mini vision board. So since I started reading from my book, I'm doing these five minute videos on Instagram, TikTok, and then I share them on LinkedIn and YouTube. They are the people who contributed postcards. I'm re-photographing them as I'm doing these readings. So I hope that you follow along. And if you do, please let me know that you're there. I really would appreciate it. And I'm always asking for people to send me manifesting postcards. So if you go to postcardstotheuniverse.com, I tell you how to create one and where to send it. And when your manifestation becomes your reality, please email me, let me know, and I can share your story. And a couple of other things that I'm doing that I like to talk about. And I usually go into more depth, and you can catch more information about it if you listen to some previous shows. I have a couple of workshops, and one is called Manifesting Through Gratitude, A Visual Journey. And that runs Thursday evenings, and it's all about using gratitude for manifesting. And I have a Making a Manifesting Postcard workshop. It's a one-day workshop, Saturday, February 17th, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's called Put Your Wishes to Work and Manifest the Life You Desire. So you can also find all of that out, about all of that, on my website, postcardstotheuniverse.com. And making postcards is so much fun. So please, I hope that you do. I want to dive right into my guests. Like I said, I apologize for starting a few minutes late today. So let me read you a little bit about them. The Skeptic Metaphysicians, Will Rodriguez and Karen Ensley, are not unlike Scully and Mulder from The X-Files. A skeptic metaphysician is caught between two worlds, the allure of life's mystical mysteries and the grounding force of scientific scrutiny. It's a quest to peel back the layers of the woo, seeking to find what's real, what's illusion, and what lies in the realm of endless possibilities. The real-life husband and wife duo are behind the Signal Award-winning show, The Skeptic Metaphysicians. From unraveling metaphysical enigmas to exploring spiritual awakenings, they dive deep without making it cringy. Their contrasting views, one is a true pragmatist and the other a wonder-filled explorer, make them the perfect guides into the great unknown. Featuring metaphysics, spirituality, and spiritual awakenings, through more than 100 interviews, they share the truth of the universe and feel that they are here this time around to act as messengers and amplify these all-important messages. And this is their quote. Our goal is to help raise the vibration of the planet by helping spread the important messages of our guests to the world. We tackle the topics from a dual mindset, where one host is more pragmatic, while the other is more immediately accepting of the esoteric. I love that. And for more information, you can go to their website. It's Skeptic metaphysician.com. Welcome, Will and Karen. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you for inviting us. We are thrilled.
Absolutely. I've got goosebumps. I need to record your intro and carry it around with me. It makes me feel so good.
I know.
Good. Okay. So now I have to, let's see. So one is, who's the pragmatist here? Is it Will or am I getting that wrong?
No, guilty as charged.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. I don't know why I just have that feeling. It just seems that this is just a personal opinion. This is not set in stone, but it just feels that men seem to be a little bit more from that scientific, like, I need the evidence. And women, we go more on the hits to our intuition. That just seems to be my experience. But like I said, that's just a personal opinion. So how did you guys, like, what prompted this? I mean, were you doing a completely different kind of work and then you decided to start this journey?
Pretty much. I think it happened. I started the show on my own, which was a tragic mistake. I should have had Karen on from the beginning, but it was really a way for me to process some realizations about myself that I came to that I did not like at all. So obviously I did the whole therapy and all that kind of stuff, but it wasn't enough. And I started asking the big questions, like, who am I? Why am I here? Why have I had to go through this that I put myself through? Things like that. And started having conversations with people about it. And little by little, started unpeeling the onion of metaphysics and spirituality. And suddenly, the world started opening up. And when I brought Karen into the show, everything changed so completely, because now we had we were looking at the same modality from two different perspectives that gave me personally, because believe me, this was a completely selfish gesture on my part, just creating the show. This was for me. But it helped me to see the topic from such a much more full and complete way that I've learned so much over the last 3 years of doing the show, and a lot of it comes from the fact that I'm seeing it from Karen's perspective too, which I couldn't see before because I was stuck in my own.
And Karen, what about you? What made you decide that you wanted to do the podcast and talk about, and you guys can also share with us too, a couple of your favorite episodes and some things that you've like learned from some of your guests. So Karen, what made you decide that you wanted to share this kind of information?
Will has a way of roping me into things. my career now, and then the podcast. Marriage? No.
Yeah. Husbands do that. They do that, don't
know,
they?
Right? So originally I joined as a guest when we had some friends that had some really interesting experiences coming on. He thought it'd be fun. They're a husband and wife team. He thought it'd be fun for the four of us to meet and talk. And it was. It was really a lot of fun. And then from time to time I would join in, you know, depending on what the topic was. And then Will and I were just having such a good time doing it that I just stayed in.
Yeah. No, it's fun doing it, right? And I'm sure you meet the most interesting people. So, Karen, is there like somebody that you like a show that like stands out in your mind? I'll ask you first, and then I'll also follow up with you, and you can answer that too. So, go ahead, Karen.
I mean, there are so many shows that stand out in my mind because of, for different reasons. Like one of the most incredible guests we had was Jonathan Robinson. And he's someone who, you know, meditated with the Dalai Lama and interviewed Mother Teresa and was friends with Ram Dass. And all it's just an incredible story. And he was so much fun to talk to and so informative. So that was one of my favorite. But we have done so many different kind of wild and wacky and fun interviews with so many people. It really has changed the way that we both look at things.
And Will, what about you? Is there some, like, maybe you can give me an example, like, is there a show that you went in as a skeptic, or after doing some research and having the conversation that sort of shifted your thinking and you're like, you know, I think I may have been wrong about that, or wow, I can really believe that now, because I've had those experiences, especially with energy stuff that you can't see, right? But you just can sort of feel it, and you see what happens. So go ahead, I'll let you answer.
Yeah, definitely. The easy answer is yes. Every episode I went into it like, I'm not sure about this. And at the end of it, it was like, well, okay, maybe. Well, not, I shouldn't say every episode, but quite a few of them. But truly, it runs the gamut. So as I'm a Gemini. So in true Gemini fashion, I go from liking this type of thing to liking this type of thing from like 1 second to the next. The thing that really changed my mind the most is when I was certified as a Reiki practitioner. Because I've always looked for, you're talking about energy and all that kind of stuff, I've always been looking for that tactile thing, that proof that I need to feel it, touch it, taste it. I can't just take it on faith. And when I was attuned to Reiki, that was the first time that I actually felt something coming out of my hands that I've never experienced before, and I couldn't deny that this was for sure something outside of the norm. So then you've got that side of things. But then you've got the other side of things where we did some episodes with manifestation, law of attraction, which then putting the tenets that we learned on the show made some things happen. And I have to like stand up and go, okay, this has to be much more than pure coincidence. But maybe the episode that really surprised me the most was when we talked to this gentleman from Australia who believed that we talked to each other on two different levels. One level is the way that we're talking now, which are just our conscious mind. But then another level is by our subconscious mind, in our selection of words and the tone of voice and the diction and the speed at which we speak, we are constantly speaking to each other in reverse as well, subconsciously. And he says that this reverse speech, he has spent his entire life recording all kinds of speeches from politicians to regular dialogue between couples, and has found hundreds of thousands of messages in reverse that is telling you what that person's actually thinking. Like, you can't lie when you do reverse speech. Oh, absolutely. And he played some sound bites for us from politicians and from his own daughter that made us, you know how sometimes you people say, oh yeah, in your spirit box, oh, he said chocolate. I didn't hear, I heard, how do you get chocolate out of that?
Right? Yeah.
This was so exact that when he played it, we both, Karen and I, were reeling that there's no way that this is not saying what we're hearing it say. It was super clear. And that really surprised me because I came into it going, oh, come on. Right? Because remember back in the 80s when everybody thought you played the records backwards and demonic messages and things like that?
From the devil.
I went into that episode with that mindset. Like, okay, but this will be fun. But when I left going, oh, my God, I've been missing a lot in my life.
That is really interesting. That is really, really interesting. As a fellow Gemini, I appreciate your brain because I am one also, and I understand how that works. I can like something and not like it at the same time, right?
Yes, you understand me. That's great.
I do understand. Well, I want to talk about, because I saw that you guys talk about this, and I thought, wow, this is really interesting because I am getting more and more into this reality shifting, this quantum jumping. So let's talk about that, because I haven't really delved into that conversation with any of my guests yet on my show. So whichever one of you wants to start, and then, you know, whoever wants to, you know, start there, and then I'll follow up with some questions from there. Go ahead.
Gosh, we had a really great...
I'm hogging the mic. So I'm giving it to Karen.
I was going
to
talk about Benji. Was it Benji? What was his last name?
Benji Scherer.
Okay. Yeah, we had a fantastic interview with him, and he talks all about reality transurfing. And he talks about manifesting and stuff as well, but it's very interesting, you know, the thought of, you know, time is all happening at the same time.
Yes.
You know, so what you're doing presently affects the past and the future, and what you're doing in the future is affecting you right now. And it can get really confusing, but it can also explain a lot of things. And I know, Will, you got to share your story about the airplane.
Okay. Yeah. That's where I was headed. Yeah. Okay. So I can be a little OCD at times, and I'm traveling a lot for work these days. Okay. Thanks, Karen.
That's all. It's so cute.
I will own it. I will own it. So most of the time when I'm flying, I fly one particular airline because I like the way that they mm-hmm. they work, and I like the miles and all that kind of stuff. And every time I have their app. Mm-hmm. Every time the day before I'm going to fly, I check the app to make sure that my seat assignment is something that I can live with, because I can't sit mm-hmm. in the middle, and I get a little claustrophobic on the window, so I'm trying to get the aisle. So this particular time I was flying home, and I checked the day before, and I was sitting in row 20, I forgot, I think it's 26C, which was the aisle. That's perfect. That's wonderful. Well, I've checked that same seat assignment at least 12 times between the time that I woke up that next morning and the time mm-hmm. I boarded the plane. At least 12 times. No lie. No exaggeration. So I sat in 26C, and mm-hmm. A minute later, a woman walked down the aisle and stands next to me and goes, "I'm sorry, sir, but I believe you're in my seat." Well, mm-hmm. of course, she's mistaken, right? She must mean the middle seat, which is empty right next to me, because I looked at my app 27 times. I'm in 26C. So I pulled out my app to show it to her, and as I did, I opened it up, and as I'm watching,
mm-hmm.
for
changed.
A split second, my seat assignment said 26C, and in front of my eyes, it switched to 26D, or vice versa, whichever one it was, as I was watching. The mm-hmm. flight attendant, of course, I was shocked. I was shell-shocked. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. flight attendant says to me, sorry, you need to move, which is what, woke me up out of my shell shock. But usually when an app updates, it will give you that little circle of death thing that just mm-hmm. loading.
Yeah.
There was none of that. It was just 1 second it was 26C, the next second it was just 26D. There was no shift. There was no adjustment. It was just like a blink, mm-hmm. blink of an eye. It was all suddenly different. It was mm-hmm. so scary that I had to call Karen right away from the plane. Like, Karen, you're not going to believe what just happened. Our first instinct is always to explain it away. It's to say, mm-hmm. I must have been mistaken, right? So I'm here sitting in now 26D think to myself, okay, how did I get this wrong? I must have seen it wrong. Well, I checked it 27 times. There's no way I got it wrong. I know for sure I saw it. Well, then maybe the airline changed it up. Well, no, because they always give me that little wheel of death thing before it adjusts. I looked at every possibility, and I could not explain it. So,
did you happen to ask the woman and ask her how long ago she had picked her seat, just to confirm anything for yourself?
I was so embarrassed and freaked out that I just wanted to sit in my seat and pretend that didn't happen, because I know no one wants to sit in the wrong seat, right? That's embarrassing. But you're right. I should have, and I didn't think of it. But my theory is that this is happening to us all the time, but our rational minds are explaining it away, so it doesn't sit. We don't notice it. But this time, it was so obvious because, truth be told, I had been asking the universe, I need you to show me a sign. I need you to show me a sign that is irrefutable. I cannot explain this away. And then the very next day, this is what happened. So the act of my asking the universe for that brought this to me and then kept it in my mind. And I pulled out my laptop and I wrote down the whole story so I didn't forget. Because I think this thing happens to us all the time and we forget about it. And we don't.
Do you think that déjà vu? Do you think a déjà vu is we're seeing a glimpse from our future self or our past self? Because I have them all the time, and they're wicked. Like, you're like, I have had this experience, and why is this so familiar? Because I try to grasp in my brain what that means to be having simultaneously experiences in the past, present, and future. Like, well, which example, is it all present in its own time? Like, it trips me out when I try to go deep into how that works, right? Because we think of time as linear, and we're finding out that obviously it's not, right? Time isn't linear. So is that what you think déjà vus are? Karen, I'll let you share that one. Yeah.
Well, I absolutely do. And it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever had the situation where maybe you're sitting on the couch and you're watching TV and you're eating something, something on your phone all at the same time. And then all of a sudden you can't find the pen that you just had in your hand.
Yes.
You haven't gone anywhere. You haven't moved, but it is nowhere to be found. You know,
yes.
You search underneath where you're sitting on the floor.
That happens to me all the time.
And then you get up, you go get another pen, you come back, and it's like, sitting right there, right in front of you, where you looked. You know? How do you explain that?
Yes. Mm. So, do you think that this is that these instances are happening to wake us up, to let us know about, you know, our own consciousness, you know?
I think they've been happening. I think we are now just finally starting to see them for what they are. Because now it's becoming more mainstream. It's becoming so much more okay to think mm-hmm. this type of thought. Whereas before you wouldn't say anything, or you'd be like, no way, you know. But now that there's resources out there even to learn more, to, like even our podcast, that's one of the things I love about it the most mm-hmm. are the reviews that we get. And so many people are saying, thank you for helping me feel normal. Mm, because they're having these experiences. And they, you know, thought they were losing it or whatever. So maybe it's happening more. I mean, we're, you know, the age of Aquarius and all of that.
Right.
But I think we're also realizing it more for what it is.
Yeah, I noticed that too, just from having the show, that people are so much more open about having experiences with, you know, this kind of stuff, or connecting to spirit, or, you know, mm-hmm. seeing loved ones that passed on, or, you know, alternative energetic healing and all those modalities. Like, and I think it's great, because I've always been fascinated by this kind of stuff ever since I was a kid, actually. Right. So I was like I always thought a little different and couldn't understand, like, you know, the segregated religion stuff. Like, it made no sense to me. It didn't feel right. Yeah. And I didn't know why it didn't feel right. But now I do.
When we were young, it was kind of the hippie people or whatever. But mm-hmm. now it's accountants, the attorneys, the computer, you know, cybersecurity people that are having these experiences. So it's,
Yes, it is. I was just talking to a contract lawyer yesterday who has a totally woo-woo podcast just yesterday. That's her day job. And that's, you know, and she's like doing this too at the same time. So it's cool. Do you think that that would be how we could time travel, that we don't actually, like, the present self doesn't actually leave its present, but somehow we connect to the past self, and that's how we could time travel, do you think?
We actually talked to someone that does just that. He calls himself a time traveler, and he does it in his mind. But he goes, I guess, I don't know, some sort mm-hmm. of remote viewing, where he takes his consciousness into the future and comes back with information from the future. So I think that's very viable theory there. However, mm-hmm. We can go super woo on this thing, right? Because I'm reading a book called Oneness, and it talks about different dimensions, and that we exist in 100,000 different dimensions. And what deja vu could be is us experiencing what our other us is experiencing in a different dimension.
Yes.
I mean, we can go down this massive rabbit hole that I don't know we have time for, I think we're getting to a tipping point. We just crossed into the age of Aquarius, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we're saying that the veil is thinner, that we're all ascending, whether we like it or not. We just got to get hip to it. And I think that's where we're starting to notice that.
Yeah, that is fascinating too. I've heard that every time, like, a choice is presented upon us, we are making those choices. Like, I've made this choice, and I've also made this choice. So and then it keeps splitting off from there and there, and then that you take that and you add that to the present, past, and future, and you're like, I mean, I don't even know. I hope, you know, when my spirit leaves the body, that all these answers will be revealed, and I will have a better understanding. My spirit will have an understanding of it. Because in our brains, it's really hard to wrap our brain around how that would even happen, how that even works. Wow.
Yeah.
That is interesting. That guest must have been really interesting. So what other kinds of shows do you market to have people come on your show? Do people find you? How do you find your guests?
Yeah, it's really interesting. We handpicked mm-hmm. our folks when we first started, but now we got to the point where people are coming to us and asking us to be on our show. So we'll start looking for we look into them, and then we're relatively selective as to who we bring on mm-hmm. because we have had some where the interview was out there, and the kind of thing where we turn off the computers, we shut off the audio board, we go downstairs, we go outside the house, we make sure we're inside the car where no one can hear us, and we go,
no,
what the heck was that?
Oh, wow.
Right?
Really?
So we've learned to be really selective about who we bring on, because we feel that we have a responsibility to the folks who are listening in. To Karen's point, she said, people are saying, thank you for making us feel normal. Well, now we feel like a sense of pressure or responsibility that we want to make sure that we're providing all different types of thought processes, even if we don't agree with it, because the whole mindset of whatever you believe is real is real, because we create our own realities. So just because it doesn't resonate with us doesn't mean it's not going to resonate with someone out there. But we do want to be incredible.
Even more than that, people assume that since we are, you know, we're just co-hosts, we're married, that we believe the same thing, and we don't. We have, I mean, some things we believe the same, but some things we are very, you know, the opposite of.
So, absolutely. Yeah, and I let Karen be wrong all the time. It's not a problem. You know,
what is reality? One thing that and what reality? And Karen, what is one thing that you believe that Will doesn't believe? If you wouldn't mind sharing.
No, I don't mind, and he knows exactly what I'm going to say. It's karma. I have a very, very different belief about karma, whereas he believes more that you bring, you know, karma from past lives, and maybe this life you're here to fix something that you did in a past life. I don't believe that. I believe what they're in karma in this life. You know, if you did something crappy, you're going to pay for it in this life. But I personally think it would be too cruel to bring a soul into a life with no memory of something they did in a past life to live a really difficult life to make up for something they didn't know they did. So it's a choice. I choose not, you know, to believe in that.
Yeah. No, I kind of, I know exactly what you're saying. I struggle with that too. That's the thought process that I have. Like, well, if they were really horrible in a past life, but now they're, you know, they're living a horrible life and they have no recollection of whatever their spirit did. So I try to rationalize it with the soul chose to have the the experiences that it was going to have, because the soul knows what it created in the past life. So that's the only way in my own mind I can rationalize that thought. But I'm like you get what you give. So if you give it, not if you give and you do it with pure heart and love in your heart, that's going to come back to you. It might not come back from the person you're giving it to or the situation, but it comes from another form. And the same with is the horrible stuff. Yeah, because Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. Well, it's good though, because you guys can have those discussions, and I'm sure you have some guests that, you know, bring up some friendly debates between the two of you, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. But that's part of the fun, right?
I love talking about this. So they are friendly, the way you said that. They are friendly debates. I gotta tell you, before we started the podcast, Will was a different person, and he was right. He was right.
Yes.
And that was where...
Thank you. You're finally admitting it. Yay.
You might be right for you, but doesn't mean you're right for anybody else, you know? So that was that was a big way that he's changed.
That's good, though, because we whatever we're right about, we are right for ourselves, but... The problem is just making everybody else have to see it our way, and that's where we get in trouble, right? And that's
exactly.
So it's good. It's good. Now, do you guys do any shows with about aliens? What do you think about that? Because I've done a few shows about that, and I've had some people that have taken it like to places where I'm like, whoa, you know what I mean? Like I'm like I'm open. I'm totally open, you know, and like you said, I want to give everybody a platform if they're what they're talking about is interesting, but I don't know, you know, if I believe it or, you know, I don't think they're lying. I think they're having an experience, you know, that kind of thing, you know, right. So what do you guys think about that? Do you do shows around that?
We try to keep our podcast more uplifting. So we haven't really done, you know, did you get probed? Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We had Elizabeth April on, who is a very well renowned starseed advocate, galactic council kind of person, and she was fascinating talking about aliens and things like that, and people different civilizations and different star systems and they're here to help and all that kind of stuff, and super fascinating. I'm not sure what I feel about it, but so I to this day. Mm-hmm. I tell everybody, all my friends, I'm ready to see a UFO, or a UAP, they're calling them now. However, Mm-hmm. If I wake up in the middle of the night and there's an alien standing by my bed, I'm going to have a heart attack. So I'm not ready for that.
Right.
But I am ready for a UFO, yeah. right? Now, yeah. we've also yeah. had other people that come on the show that do CE5 events.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that. I'm not familiar with that. What is that?
So apparently it's close encounters of a fifth kind where you actually consciously call them to you. So
yes.
leads people out into somewhere, mm-hmm. and they all sit and meditate, and they actually call the ETs or the UFOs to them. And apparently 9 out of 10 times that they do this, they'll see something. Something will happen. And that intrigued me because, like I said, I'm ready. But if an alien steps towards me, then I'm going to be in the car.
You're ready, not ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready, but not ready. Yes, I'm ready. Yeah. No, not ready.
Yeah, you're ready, not ready. Well, I have a regular guest, Reverend Gregory Possman, who's on my show all the time, and he's a channeler, and he channels the archangels and some spirit guides, but he also channels like the Venusians, a few of them, and they are all here to help. So I love his messages because I get to talk to whomever he's channeling, which is really kind of cool, you know, and I get to ask like all those questions. Yeah. So I was just curious because I know you guys compare yourselves to the X-Files, so I was just like, I wonder, like, what kind of, like, deep dives they've taken on some of their of their shows.
We've done Bigfoot. We've done all that. We've done aliens, UFOs. We've done, reverse speech, I would consider to be something like. We've done remote viewing, and we do run the gamut. But the show has really kind of evolved into more of a spiritual exploration where we're now not looking at, I mean, we are, but we're not really focusing on paranormal stuff, ghosts and that kind of stuff, but rather how do we grow as humans and souls so that we can spiritually awaken. And that's really calling to me now because I really need it.
We do need it, and we all need it. I think that's why we're seeing a lot of what's happening in the world being brought to light, right? So that it can be healed. And so where do you two think that our consciousness is going? I mean, you talk about something about the butterfly, like how the butterfly teaches us that we're all connected. So where do you guys think we're growing and going as a species and as a consciousness?
Oh, gosh.
Either one can take it.
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I where are we going? I don't know. Like in general or after this life?
In general. Like, do you feel... Okay, so let me make it clear. Do you feel like we're growing and it's getting better? Because some people are, I'm always on the side of hope, right? I'm always like looking for the light. I'm always looking for that, even though we see a lot of darkness, don't focus on that. You know, we're the creators of our reality. We need to like consciously focus on more love and peace and healing, and that the earth will follow suit as we all, you know, create our own reality of what we want earth to be. But some people are the doomsday people and they get scared and that's what they focus on. So where do you, from both of your experiences doing the podcast and your own personal experiences, what do you think is going on or where we're going? Does that help a little bit?
I would say that we're both more aligned kind of with your thought process, you know, more towards the hope, the growing, we have, again, you know, we've talked to the people that channel the aliens and they are here to help us to the next level sort of thing, spirit guides and all of that. I believe it's very much, but it can be hard because you see all of this negative stuff happening in the world. And, you know, it's like, well, you don't want to just shut off the news and not have any idea what's going on because that's not helpful. And we actually spoke with someone a while ago who said, when you see that, it can actually help promote love because you see these horrible situations happening and you take that and send them your love. Instead of blocking it out and not thinking about it, just send that love, send that energy. And if everyone's doing that, all of those energies are connecting, then it will raise the overall energy of the globe, which I think is what the goal and the intention is.
Yeah. Okay. And Will?
I think to address the other part of your question about those are doom and gloom, I'm not sure if you ever saw the movie What Dreams May Come.
Yes.
But it's a movie... Okay. It's based on a Richard Matheson story, which was incredible. But basically, this man's wife commits suicide, and he goes to the afterlife to find her because he wants to get her, only to find her in a terrible place in the afterlife where she is all doom and gloom. So my thought process falls right in line with that. There were all these different heavens that people went to depending on what their experience of what they thought would happen when you die.
Right.
So whether you are here on this planet and we are creating your reality moving forward, I do feel that our consciousnesses, if we are in multiple dimensions, are splitting.
Right.
So those that are doom and gloom are going to live in a world that is all doom and gloom, and it's and you're they're quickly evolving in that direction, and we see it happening as we speak right now.
Yeah.
Where those of us who are believing that we're going to go to a better place are actually evolving to that better place, because the universe is going to say, "Oh, this is what you want? Okay, let's make it happen for you," because that's what the universe does all the time.
Yeah, and then there's, I'm sure you both know that theory that the Earth is splitting. The 3D is going in one direction, and then the 5D is going in another, you know, in another direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fascinating also.
It is, and that goes right in line with kind of what I was thinking, because, I mean, they're finding new species of animals all the time now that they hadn't found before, and they're thinking that those are these species that are actually 5D species that we're able to now see. They've been there all along, but we now we're moving up, we can see them now. And then those that are kind of, I mean, and this sounds cold and heartless, and I do not mean it this way at all.
Yeah.
But what they're saying is those that are going extinct possibly are 3D animals that we are losing the ability for us to see, because they're sticking to that dimension.
That's crazy.
To
I've
think
heard
about,
that.
But
I've heard that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah. So, what is the what did you ask the question how the butterfly teaches us that we're all connected? What do you mean by that? How does the butterfly teach us that? Love butterflies.
Well,
butterflies are very important in my family. I have a tattoo of a butterfly, so I love butterflies. Go ahead.
You know, I'm a guy, and I'm going to go contrary to what my man card says to do and say, but I will tell you that the butterfly is my spirit animal. I was in a whitewater rafting trip, and if you've ever gone whitewater rafting, you go through periods of sheer panic where you feel you're going to die, followed by really calm water that makes things like it lets you catch your breath and your heart rate to go down and it calms you down a little bit. But right before you go, oh, my God, here we go again, and go back down the rapids and you're fearing for your life again. Well, in this one particular moment where we were had gone over some particularly difficult rapids and opened up to this beautiful open area in the canyon, it was so still and quiet. It was so beautiful. And a butterfly, a single monarch butterfly, started flitting around. We had two boats. Flitting around both of our boats, and everyone's sticking their finger up going, oh, land on my finger, land on my finger, because they had nowhere to land. And I'm like, oh yeah, right, whatever, like the butterfly's going to risk its life and land on any of our fingers. But something inside me at that precise moment said to me, Will, put up your finger, it's landing on yours. And before I knew it, my finger was up in the air, and as soon as I did it, I'll be damned, but that butterfly landed on my finger. Well, that moment everyone was asking, oh, my gosh, how did you get it to land on your finger? How did you do that? Whatever. I heard none of that because I went into this tunnel where I was so – that butterfly was looking directly into my eyes, and I was looking directly into its eyes, and we were connected as one, and there was nothing else in existence but it and I and the canyon and the nature around me. And it was an experience that I've never – experienced since or before, but I have no doubt that that butterfly and I were the same. We were the same.
Yeah.
We were just in different bodies. And in just as quickly as that happened,
it stopped.
It went away.
Yeah.
And it just flitted away. And I've been chasing that connection my entire life after that.
Mm. Yeah, I think we all get those deep insights, and they're very fleeting and they don't last. And it's just a little spark that says, you know, makes us think and go, you know, where it's something, you know, you can't prove it. You can't, you know, but you just know it. So do both of you, Karen, do you believe in the other realms? Like, you know, all the mythical creatures. So there's the dragons and the mermaids and the fairies and all that. Do you believe in those realms? Do you think that that's real?
You know, I think I do. Mm-hmm. I kind of believe in everything.
Yeah, me too.
But that being said, it's not like someone tells you something, you know, I'll be like, oh yeah, you know. But I mean, part of it is the belief in we create our own reality. And you know, I can't say what's not out there if I don't, or what is out there if I haven't experienced it myself.
Yeah.
You know,
so you believe that it's a possibility, at least, that it's definitely very possible.
Absolutely. We were, Will and I were speaking a while ago, and at the time he had a fear of death. You know, it's like, what if they turn off the light and that's it? I'm like, well, you know, that's a possibility. But doesn't it feel better to believe that there's more than that? So that's kind of how I stand.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if either of you have ever had the experience of getting signs from a loved one who's passed on, because I have. And Will, have you? Have you had that personal experience?
No, I've been super lucky in that I have not had a lot of people close to me pass away. I know Karen has very, very strongly. But I do. I have a hard time with the unicorns and the fairies and things. I do. I have a hard time with them. But I can't discount it. I've learned so much over the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Who's to say that if I didn't truly believe a unicorn existed, I wouldn't be poked in the side by one the next day? You know. But it hasn't happened, so it's hard for me to believe.
You're a skeptic. You're a skeptic. That's the skeptic there, right? Until you see it yourself. Yeah. Well, I've had a few experiences with that realm, and they were very real to me. I'm not going to try to convince you that they were, but I have seen things, and I've had experiences. So, yes, in that fairy realm, which is wild, and I don't usually share it a lot, but I'm not embarrassed about anything in my life at this point. But, yeah, so I've had a couple of experiences that were really, really wild and unexplainable. Unexplainable.
That piques my interest. Yeah. Now you got me all wondering what happened. I need to know, because I'm curious, because I do.
Well,
I want to believe.
I think I'm coming on your show, right? Aren't I coming on your show at some point in the future?
I think I am.
So we'll talk then, I'll share it.
Yeah, I can't wait to grill you on it, because I need to know.
Yeah, we'll share it. It's wild. Yeah, but so you haven't, luckily you haven't had anybody close to you, but I've had some wild experiences with getting signs from loved ones who have passed away. And my most recent is my sister passed away a year and a half ago, a sister who has special needs. And my mother and I and my other sister, we get signs from Tony, my sister Tony, like crazy all the time, you know, which is wild. Yeah. So that to me is really, really fascinating. And like when Karen said that you were afraid of death, like what if this is the end and the lights just go out and that's it? I mean, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, it makes me feel more comfortable because I've had those experiences that make me think that there's just no way that the lights just go out and that's it.
I think he's come around.
Is that,
yeah.
I have come around, but I really want to have those signs. So my grandmother passed away a very long time ago, but I've not ever seen a sign or anything like that. But I have seen Karen react to signs.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to say that's not real, because it's been things that really make you stand up and go, my what? Right? That's kind of weird.
I've always wanted to have.
Yeah, Karen, I would love to hear of like an experience that you had.
What do you think, Will? The magnolias or the nails?
Let's do the magnolias.
Magnolias. Okay, so my best friend passed away. It was a year and last May, and we were very, very close. Mm-hmm. And we were the anthropology girls that, you know, were real artsy.
Yeah.
And so it was about a week after she passed. I'm like, all right, I need to see a sign. And I said, send me a magnolia, because we used to use this magnolia oil as perfume.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just, you know, put that out there. So I went to bed. It was that night. I went to bed. And the next morning I wake up and I hear my phone, like a text ring in. So I turn it on, and it's a big photograph of a magnolia.
Oh, yeah.
And I look at the text, and it's from my mom, and she's like, "Good morning, honey. I was taking a walk today, and for some reason, I felt compelled to send you this picture."
Oh,
so she took a picture of this magnolia that she saw. I mean, and then that day, the whole rest of the day, I had a job that I was doing. I'm a freelancer, and the job was on Magnolia Road. Just like all of these things, you know.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I mean, you can't deny it.
You can't deny it. Yeah, that's your best friend going, "I'm here, I'm right next to you," you know, like you just can't see me. Yeah, those are very comforting experiences when you've lost someone. And obviously, Karen, you know, if you lost your best friend, you know, probably like a sister to you, you know, it's terrible, right? It's very painful.
It is awful.
So it's comforting to get signs from them. So yeah, so Will, you just got to ask for more signs from like your spirit guides or like, you know, maybe your grandmother or ancestors so that you can be like open to the experience and then you can share it on your show.
And then take your own advice and not explain it away.
That's the problem. That's the rub, right? It's it has to be in such a way that it is undeniable. So it's tough.
Yeah.
But I will say I have been asking more and I have been getting more, not from loved ones, but rather from angels or the universe or whatever. Synchronicities, right? Things that I can't explain away. But the more I talk about this with people, the more, I really want to see these things. I want to experience things. Like I wanted to astral project my entire life, never been able to do it. Well, everyone's telling me I'm wanting it too much. Stop wanting it and it might happen to you. Well, then what's the point of wanting something? If not, it's not going to happen, then it's going to happen if you don't want it. Like, I don't want what I don't want. I want what I want.
Well, I think it's the wanting it is okay. It's the attachment to it that where we get in our own way. So you desire something. Like, I'm sure you've heard of Abraham Hicks, right? You launch your desire into the universe. But then you have to say, okay, I launched it and know that it's going to happen. And then don't be attached to it. And then one day you'll have the experience.
Right. But it's so easy to say, but not so easy to do. Right, because I'll do that and I'll send it off and I won't look at it. But then, you know, every once in a while I gotta peek over. Is it coming? No, it's not coming.
Yes.
No, it's not coming yet. Damn it.
Exactly. I know. And that's why, you know what, Louise, I used to listen to Louise Hay all the time, and she said something that totally resonated with me. And ever since then, it makes my mind shut up a lot easier. Like if you ever go to a restaurant and you order food or you order drinks, you don't get up from your table and go into the kitchen and ask the chef, like, what are you doing? Why is it taking so long? When's it going to be? Put it like this. The plate has to look like that. Right? You don't do that.
Are you
sit
sure about
there.
That?
Well, you shouldn't do that. Well,
well, if it's taking a long time, we might ask. But
well, you might say, yeah, but you don't go in the kitchen and like design it. You have faith that your plate is going to be delivered in front of you, right? And so that's how I try to think of now something I'm working on manifesting. I put it out there and I have faith that the universe is going to deliver it to me, right? Instead of just asking when, why, how, you know, because that's what we do.
I love that. I love that.
I do. That's a great way to look at it. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just say, I placed my order. That's all you have to tell yourself. I placed my order.
And so remind yourself, it's a gourmet restaurant, not fast food.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You're at a 5-star Michelin whatever restaurant, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So is there anything that you guys, we only have a minute before we wrap up, is there anything that you guys want to share that we didn't get to and tell everybody where they can listen to your podcast and find you?
Gosh, I would just say, like, what do I want to share? The one thing is, when you show love, you become love. So show love, give compliments, be kind to people. That's
the key. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. And Will?
So I think most of the people that would be listening to this are already on board. But if there's anyone out there that is kind of on the fence and isn't sure, I will say this. Take it from someone who was there. The more you allow yourself to open to the possibility of things outside of what you consider to be normal or real, the more that reality, that out of the norm reality, will present itself to you to show you that, hey, you're going the right direction. It's pretty amazing. And if it, And if anybody wants to check out the show, all they need to do, we're on every possible podcast platform known to man. You can find more of us, blogs and videos and all kinds of things on at skepticmetaphysician.com, which is our website address.
Thank you so much, Will and Karen. It was such a delight talking to you both. And I can't wait to continue the conversation on your show. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. And I'm wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.